Let us pray.
Lord, we ask today that you would open our hearts and minds to your message for us that comes from these gospel texts and Old Testament texts that you have offered for us on this day. And now we pray that the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth would be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our Savior. Amen. Well, I really appreciate the invitation to come and to supply your pulpit this morning. I think that this story from Numbers is kind of a funny story to pick, and one that we usually encounter in Lenten time, and so I hope that you'll be open to my message today. There's a video on YouTube that was created by an Argentine comedian in which he reads sections from an intimate diary of his cousin. In this fictional account, the comedian relates his cousin's first impressions of life in Canada, coming from someone who left his native of Argentina to live in Canada. The first diary entry starts as you might expect. It's about how his cousin arrives in Canada in late summer and talks about how nice it is, how peaceful and tranquil. He can't believe how very beautiful and picturesque it is. His cousin even remarks that he can't wait to see the hills covered with snow. That sounds familiar. He tells about seeing a deer for the first time and what a majestic animal it is. Indeed, the landscape looks like a postcard. He says, "How wonderful it is that I left my country behind, especially the heat, the mosquitoes, and the humidity." Soon the first snow falls in Canada, and his cousin becomes ecstatic. He can't believe it. He does all the things that we see in the movies, all the things that are portrayed when we see scenes of New York. He has snowball fights, and he makes a snowman. And he even celebrates shoveling the snow, saying, "I had to shovel a little snow." He doesn't miss even a little his home country, especially not the heat, the mosquitoes, and the humidity. But after a few months, as we can expect, the snow becomes less and less appealing, and his cousin starts to complain more and more. He complains about the loud snow plow that passes by his house at all hours of the night. Then he complains about the car accident that he has because of the majestic deer that ran in front of his car and he swerved so as to not hit it. And finally, he complains about his family, if you can believe this, who, to add insult to injury, do not answer the phone when he calls, when he's homesick, because they're out at the pool enjoying the summer in the southern hemisphere. His dream has become a nightmare. After one winter in Canada, he sells his house in Canada, returns to his country, embracing that which he once rejected: the heat, the mosquitoes, and the humidity. Now, this Argentine has a funny way of talking about the experience that many of us who are not native of the Northeast have. As someone who comes from the south of the United States, I too was fascinated with the snow as a newcomer in New Jersey some 10 years ago. I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, a hot and humid place with no shortage of mosquitoes, where it almost never snows. In fact, some of you may remember that in recent years in Atlanta, there was a citywide traffic jam that lasted 24 hours because of less than an inch of snow. playing in the snow. And before moving here, I thought of snowy winters as being pretty magical. I could hardly wait. But after spending 10, count them, 10 winters here in the northeast of the country, reality has set in. Now, I don't know you all very well, but I will confess that I do complain, especially after our recent snowstorm of 20 plus inches. When I have to clear the snow and I complain about the driving conditions and the cold, and of course, I dream of being in a warmer place, as is the case with this Argentine. And it bothers me when I call my parents who live in Florida now, and they send me pictures of the beach enjoying the heat, the mosquitoes, and the humidity. In today's reading from the Old Testament, on this third Sunday of Lent, we find the Israelites in the desert again. This is the last of five murmuring stories in the book of Numbers, in which they are complaining about their situation over and over again, and it is indeed a strange tale. We see the Israelites wanting to find a way out of their situation, wanting to return to what they knew before, what they left behind. However, in this case, they want to return to a life that held much more serious drawbacks than the heat, the humidity, and the mosquitoes. They wanted to return to a life of slavery in Egypt. During Lent, one important theme that we explore in our own preparation for Easter is this narrative of God's people in the desert. These desert places can be a metaphor for life's wilderness experiences, a place far from the plenitude of our society, a place that is full of detours, even for God's own chosen people. During this season, in the Old Testament, we look at the issues that arise in the desert and the covenant God made with the Israelites in that book of Exodus. And in the New Testament, we have to reflect on the meaning of the cross. Today, with the text of the Old Testament and the New Testament coming together, intersecting in ways that texts often do not intersect, we see in verse 14 the message right there, loud and clear. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. If it were not for this verse in this very, very famous passage from John, referring to today's Old Testament passage, this strange story about snakes and God's wrath might easily get lost in the not often preached upon book of Numbers. In a sense, it is the same story as always with the Israelites. It doesn't sound very different. They're complaining in the wilderness, but God provides what they need every single day. They get impatient. And in this book of Numbers, this is the fifth of five complaints. But this time it's different. This time it's worse. This time they are complaining against their God. I'd venture to say that we know what it's like to feel stuck too. This frustration of the Israelites, this feeling of wandering in circles, and at the same time being stuck, is nothing new for us here in the church. And without knowing you very well, I might venture to say that complaining can happen in our own lives as well. In an interview, the Chilean psychologist Pilar Sordo talks about a phenomenon in child rearing in the Americas, and she's talking mostly about South America, but I think it happens here as well in North America. She speaks to the aversion towards boredom, an aversion towards unstructured time, a resistance to feeling stuck in our child rearing. Dr. Sordo talks about the trend of filling our children's days with activities and sports and tutors, so much so that the parents sometimes have become mini travel agencies, taking on the responsibility to keep their children busy. And in this new way of child rearing, she talks about children having rights. And I think what she means by this is probably that children have more of a say, even claiming the right to be entertained. And at the same time, in this new trend, parents no longer set the boundaries, the limits, enforce the rules, the chores, the responsibilities. Some of that falls by the wayside. I have to admit, as a mother myself of a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old, I feel the pressure myself. As I hear my children complain at home about getting bored, about feeling stuck at home, wanting to go do something fun, the temptation is there. This complaining, when we feel stuck, when we feel bored, it's our nature. And so this is how it is with the Israelites as well. They feel stuck in their wilderness experience and they forgot about their duties and responsibilities. Here are God's chosen people who complain about the food, who complain because they are not comfortable, and so they complain against God. And we learn that for God, this is not acceptable. In the blink of an eye, we see this narrative unfold. We see God sending poisonous serpents that bite and eventually kill many Israelites. This situation is not just about the Israelites complaining. It is about not trusting in God's promises. It is a sin to speak against God, and the punishment for this is death. Now, I have to say, when I read the story sometimes, it seems pretty scary, if not a great motivator to take on the practice of gratitude. God sent snakes to punish his people. I remember the first time I taught this text was when I was giving a children's sermon at another church here in New Jersey. And like today, I asked if any of the children like snakes. Of course, I did have the one token boy who loves snakes. But Mose did not even want to hear the snake. And I remember some girls shrieking, and they didn't even want to talk about the story any longer. This fear remains with many of us as well from childhood. The fear of snakes is so strong that there was a blockbuster movie, Snakes on Planes. It was about snakes getting loose on the plane. According to a survey here in the United States, 36% of adults say their biggest fear is snakes. And so this punishment frightened the Israelites as well, understandably so. It scares them enough to cause them to repent, thank God. We see them going to Moses to confess their sins, and Moses prays for them, and God gives them a plan. He says here, make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it, and they shall live. This plan is curious, and it's difficult to understand how it works. But it does work, and what we see here is the importance of the story. They feel stuck. They get scared. But finally, they look up, and they remember their faith. And so it happens with us in our lives in the desert, in our wilderness experiences. We get bored. We feel stuck. When we face the crises in our lives, the serpents that might not be actual literal snakes, but things that threaten our well-being, our sense of equilibrium on a day-to-day basis, crises that involve our families, that involve our finances, that involve our health, we get scared too. And when we get stuck in the fear, it's hard to hear that message of today, the message of redemption. So, friends of Leonia Church, I offer this to you today. I ask that you receive that message of redemption. When you face the problems of today, the crises of today, the snakes today that threaten our physical and spiritual lives, look up. And have faith in the Lord's salvation. This is the message of Lent in the desert of our lives, that God is with us and offers us salvation. This is the faith that truly heals and saves. When you get stuck, when you get bored, when you get scared, do not forget to look up, because that is where your salvation lies. In the name of the one who was and is to come, amen.